You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the third hour of Miller and Moulton on this Tuesday, the first Tuesday of May, and Pat Kerwin is still joining us twice a week. He of NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, CBS's NFL Today show. Pat also is joined, or he joins us, courtesy of Pinchers. Pinchers, Tampa to Key West, dozen locations in between Pinchers where you can't fake fresh. By the way, we were just talking about the future of college athletics and, you know, the athletes, are they going to be employees? Are they going to be part of a union? You know, how are they going to, you know, change the system that's in place now to something that's a little more organized? Does the NFL care about any of this? Are they paying attention? Because, I mean, this is a free minor league that they got going here, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, they'll never have public comments about it as a concern to them. Look, they're just hoping, keep promoting, keep developing players, and we'll keep drafting them. Nope, I don't think they care. Now, they'll say something nice because they have to keep some form of face with the universities. But the universities caused this problem, and they're not going to be able to put the toothpaste back in the tube. So I laugh at a lot of the things they think. It's so clear to everybody that they just want to spend less and control the players again. And that ain't happening.
All right. One other thing with college and the NFL. When we get to that, third Saturday in December, when the NFL starts playing Saturday games, there's going to be a college football playoff this year. Do you think the NFL would back off of those Saturday games at all? I mean, they don't care about the NBA. We get it. They've taken over Christmas. But do you think that they would back off their minor league, their free minor league, to give them a Saturday on their own, or do they not care about that either?
To my knowledge, they're very excited about Saturday football, and any changes to the college system, the NFL probably doesn't have to adhere to that and respect them. They might move the games around into nighttime or something, but I don't think the NFL, the way they think now, I don't think the old days, Wellington Mara and the guys, they probably would have, but we're in a different world. We're going to play football on Christmas Day too. And we're going to open the season technically because high school football hasn't started yet on a Friday. I have a feeling they're just going to keep plowing ahead, which is why I always say the only thing that's ever going to ruin the NFL is the NFL. They don't take considerations well.
Roger Goodell, on the record quite a few years ago, saying would like to take this league to be a $25 billion annual industry. Right now it's 20. And he, a couple of weeks ago, openly talked about playing 18 games because he's been on the record for his whole tenure. He hates the preseason, thinks the fans are getting ripped off. So let's go to 18-2. That would involve the union, correct? So, Pat, how quickly do you think the NFL contacts the union and says, hey, let's start talking about playing 18 games?
They've already been talking. They already know it. The union hasn't barked back once. We're in the unofficial period, right? But you don't hear the union saying anything negative. Why would they? The average player is 26 years old. He's going to play 3 or 4 years. He's looking at it from the point of view, I'm getting to get one extra paycheck each year. That's 4 extra paychecks. I'm all for that. I wouldn't mind if they got rid of the whole preseason. But if they just bring it down to 2, that gives them in their back pocket to go to 20 games when they want to and all the other things they have. But the players, I mean, I've been around enough of the strikes. At the end of the day, they just want more money now. You can say anything they want, but at the end of the day, throw them more cash now and they're ready to go. Where else on the planet are they going to make any money at all? Nowhere. So if you're a football player, you're not going to Europe to play. You're not going to Canada to play. There's no money in any of those places. So, yeah, they'll take more money and they'll play the extra game. And if I were the union, I'd be fighting for expanded roster because that gets more guys real jobs. And I'd fight for 2 byes. Those are the 2 things that keep you maybe healthy enough to make 1 extra season. That's all they're going to fight for. And the owners know that they're not going to fight for anything else.
And the owners would give all those things at the end of the day, wouldn't they? The buys, sure, the extra roster spots, if they're getting more games. I mean, that seems – that's, if I'm an owner, that seems pretty easy to me. A handful more jobs, I can open up TV contracts again, I'll get paid again.
Yeah, and so let's use the model that the owners used already. Oh, you guys want less practice? No problem. That's what they gave him in the last CBA, less practice time. The problem is the players go in like deer in the headlights. I cannot believe that the players send negotiating players in there. They need the best negotiators in the world to go in there for them, but they don't do it that way. And the owners can beat them up pretty hard. But at the end of the day, have NFL players ever made more money than they're making now? No. I know everyone likes to fight and tell us the CBA is terrible, but show me something that was better for the NFL players ever.
Now, unless the NFL were to change their calendar pack, as the NFL made a decision a long time ago that playing Labor Day weekend's a mistake. All right, that's the last weekend of summer in a good chunk of this country, and NFL ratings are 15 to 20% lower when they played on Labor Day weekend than when they play the very next week. Because right, people actually said no to the NFL over Labor Day weekend. So if the NFL is going to stick with starting after Labor Day weekend, if we're adding a game and we're adding a bye week, aren't we eliminating the week off in between? Because we can, A, push the Super Bowl back 1 week, but wouldn't we also have to eliminate the week off in between the conference championship game and the Super Bowl, or otherwise – we're pushing it back 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, they'll figure out that part of it. And if they land up taking away the week between the Super Bowl and the championship, I don't know if everyone really cares. And maybe they'll go back and use Labor Day. Who knows? You know, when they look, let's talk about the networks, the guys who pay the bills. Do you think they'd rather have football on Labor Day weekend or no football? Do you think they care about barbecues? All you need is rain, and everybody's inside looking for something.
Well, and that's what I, you know, it's funny, Pat, when David was talking about it, and he's obviously right, those are factual numbers, but the last time we played Labor Day weekend, the NFL wasn't the behemoth that it is now.
I know,
who would have thought the NFL was going to play on Christmas a generation ago and win? So
I'm with you. I think a lot of the things that we remember historically as decisions – it's a new brave world, and it's a different way things are going on. So I don't think the NFL is afraid to do anything. And playing on a Wednesday Christmas is all we need to remember and remind ourselves. They're willing to put this product anywhere. Did we ever think we're going to go to Brazil?
No. Not this soon, to be honest. I thought maybe in the 2030s, but no. Mm-mm. And also, I mean, because you said earlier that, you know, high school football hasn't started. It has in most places the Friday heading in, you know, the Friday after Labor Day weekend. I mean, in fact, I've lived in four different parts of this country. There's not a single part of the country that didn't have high school football on that first Friday of September.
I can tell you I was personally involved with a high school football game on a Friday night in August. So the problem is that the little negotiation with the high schools was they picked an arbitrary date, and it happens to be the Friday after they're going to Brazil. They're on to that. The NFL feels like their product is good anytime, any place. And they're not – look, they knew they weren't going to get a big audience when they first went to the streaming services. But they got paid so much money – that they didn't care. And they're in the, well, we'll let that market grow. I don't think you can control these guys now. And I think if they want to have football every Friday night, now why wouldn't they have football on Tuesday nights? You know, who knows why they don't have that? If they ever wake up and think they should, they will. So it's kind of scary how big it is. It's a monster. There's nothing on any network that compares to it. The networks will take all the football you give them, and they'll figure out how to do it. So I mean, you know what? The young people that look at it differently than we do, we remember the old days and Sunday at 1 o'clock. They don't even care about 1 o'clock anymore. Where do all the games come from that they need? 1 o'clock Sunday, which all of us thought, hey, this is a heck, this is what we loved about the NFL when we were kids. And no more. No one cares about 1 o'clock. So just get to 4 o'clock and then, you know, oh, Amazon needs a game, take something out at 1 o'clock. It's only CBS and Fox that have the really enough games to give away to these other places. So I don't know. Did we ever think the games were going to be on streaming services? Did we ever think that the networks were going to be like, who cares about 1 o'clock? I mean, a lot of things have changed. And the NFL is making more money than ever. So,
and it just goes to, you know, David and I and our old producer thought the worst idea ever was moving the draft to Thursday night. Why would they take away the weekend that was the NFL draft? And now we just saw what was in Detroit and what will be in Green Bay next year. And that's turned into another event. Hell, they're probably going to start having a scheduled release party in a city just to make more revenue, Pat.
Yeah, I mean, they have filled up the calendar. All of us know the events that we have to talk about every day. And they're sprinkled in. To David's first point about expanded season, expanded buys, David, here's my vision. As the championship Super Bowl game ends, I'm getting on a plane and going to the combine. That's, you know, there's nothing else anymore. You just go right to the next event. Now, Bill Cowher says that the combine should be 2 weeks before the draft. Get rid of all the pro days, have the combine, and we're going to draft 2 weeks later. And do the whole thing like in late April and into the first week of May. And I'm all for it. The pro days are, where are we going to fit all that stuff in?
Well, especially if the season's getting pushed an extra week or two back, you're right. That would be even less time unless the NFL is going to move the draft out of April and into May. They probably don't want to do that because of the team's mini camps and off seasons and what have you. He's Pat Kerwin. NFL Radio, Moving the Chains, weekdays 3 to 7 with his co-host Jim Miller. He's also part of CBS's NFL Today show. He joins us Tuesdays and Fridays throughout the year. During the heart of summer, he joins us once a week, but Pat is kind of booking himself these days. So for now, it's twice a week, and he joins us courtesy of Pinchers. Pinchers from Tampa to Key West and all points in between Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh. We'll actually talk about the teams and some players and some signings and some players that are still out there to be signed and the June 1st deadline coming up with Pat Kerwin on the other side here on Miller and Moulton.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour, remaining moments with Pat Kerwin. NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, weekdays 3 to 7. In September, he'll start back up with CBS's NFL Today show. Pat joining us once again, courtesy of Pinchers. Pinchers from Tampa to Key West and over a dozen locations in between. Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh. So how close are we to vacations in NFL front offices? I mean, you know, how much more work does a front office need to do between now and training camp?
That's a great question. First off, it's the firing period. Most front office scouts, everybody in that department, contracts usually end June 1st. So, and some guys have already been let go. We saw Carolina letting their pro personnel office go. There'll be a lot more of those going on. And then what work has to be done? Well, now you referenced before who's available in free agency. So you still have a free agent board. You should anyway. If you don't, I don't know what dark ages you're in, but you got to be able to provide where everybody is, where do our guys stack up against that. So if let's say there's 8 wide receivers, you'd like to put your receivers on it. Now, a lot of them will be on top of the board because you got better players, but there's going to be Zay Jones, you know, those kind of guys. You're going to start thinking, where do we fit? Do we need them? So you better be able to have access to that, because when we get to the mini camps, not this rookie thing, but with the team comes in, guys get hurt. Guys blow out a hip, and all of a sudden you need a guy. So the personnel, the pro guys can't go anywhere. And then you set up your schedule for the summer to make sure you're going to cover a film grade and a live grade of every rookie, for starters. you got to get a preseason grade on all these guys because it's their first pro grade. Everything else in your file is college stuff. And so if you get a chance and you see your schedule, you figure out where everyone's going to be, how you're going to see every player, all that stuff. And, you know, it's not that hard to schedule it, but you got to do all that stuff and get the place ready for when camp starts. And for the pro guys, it's always get ready for injuries. How are we going to respond to injuries? And how much cap space are we going to have allocated to emergencies? That kind of stuff is going on.
I would think the coaches, particularly the head coach and the special teams coach, are, I don't know about busy, but I would think they are mad scientists right now. With the new rules coming to special teams, I would think those guys are, you know, on whiteboards all day long drawing up new plays.
The special teams coach is fighting like crazy now that he's got to get core players and he wants five, and a lot of head coaches won't give him five. And I said this to you guys the other day. When someone comes in and the special teams coach is a powerful guy and he convinces the head coach he needs five core players, well, the very first thing that's going to happen is the position coaches are going to go, well, what position is the guy coming from? Is he going to count on my roster? Is he a receiver? Is he a linebacker? And then all of a sudden, when the let's call it the linebacker coach says, he needs two special team players from my position group. So now you're taking from me, and I don't think those guys can play defense. They can only run down and cover kicks. So the politics of it all gets crazy because game day rosters are so small. So all that is going on. There have been a significant number. I know that guys like David would track this, of guys signing core special team players. We see a signing, we look the guy up and we go, look at this. The guy plays special teams. He hasn't played on the field. I mean, the best special teams player in the league was up in New England, Slater, and he never played anything. He just played special teams. So how many guys are going to be allowed to be those types? And what position group are they coming from? I remember getting in a big fight because a long snapper was going to be a tag to the defensive line. And the D-line, we were in a four-man front. He wanted to rotate the eight guys. And on game day, one of the eight guys was this guy, a special team long snapper who was never going to play. So he immediately was down to seven guys in rotation, barring an injury. And so those things are going on. But right now, next Monday and Tuesday, because most of the mini camps are this weekend coming up, next Monday and Tuesday will be very important meetings where every position coach is going to stand up and say, okay, you just took a good look at your guys. What are you short? Coach, I need another defensive end, and I need a three technique. We're not going to be able to go with what we have. And I'm looking at safeties. I'm starting on defense, Mark, in reverse order. And the first seven teams I've done are all short one safety. The average team keeps four safeties on the roster. Some keep five. Only one team kept six, and it was New England. And every one of them has three. And the fourth guy is either a college free agent who's not going to be good enough or a sixth round pick. And the safety list in the free agent group is pretty impressive. Justin Simmons is out there. A lot of guys are out there. So right away, the first thing that's happened to me is I know these secondary coaches in there complaining. We cannot go into the season with three safeties. We got to go into camp with six. You can keep all the college free agents you want. So that's the stuff that I like looking at, trying to figure out where everyone's going.
The schedule release, I believe, is Thursday night. What, if anything, of the schedule did you look at and pay attention to? Was there anything that was important that you thought maybe if they laid it out for us this way, we might win an extra game, or if they laid it out for us this way, it might cost us a game?
Yeah, well, I think most coaches always just looked at week one. Because that's really going to be part of the way you set up practice. But just yesterday, the Dolphin fans are calling in now. Of course, they have to worry because they worry about everything. New England, the Jets, and Buffalo. How many of those games are in December and January? They're already nervous about playing in the cold, which tells you that they're probably going to lose them. So, yes, for so certain teams, that's a bad situation, those kind of weather games. How many back-to-back division games do you have? Do you ever get stuck with three division games in a row without any time off in between it? Who do you have after the bye? you'd love a big rival, you know, that kind of Andy Reid, does he ever lose off a bye? So I think guys still look at all that stuff. I think you can paralyze yourself. If you got eight criteria that you like to make you happy, you're never going to get there. And how many road games? You know, didn't we have last year, David, you remember this stuff. Didn't someone go on the road like four straight weeks?
Well, on a couple of years ago, I think the Raiders had a stretch where they were home once in 7 weeks between road games, bye weeks, and games in Europe. The Raiders went, I think, a 7 week stretch where they didn't have a home game.
Yeah. So those things, and the fans love, and I get fans that call me, they think I know the schedule. I don't know the schedule. And they want, they're just looking for getting hotel reservations for their Packers. You know, their Packer fans call me, two of them. Why? Because I'm in Southwest Florida. Who's down here? Retired Packer fans. And they want to know where they're playing.
I do love it. You know, a lot of people worry about it, but as you said, the coaches worry about the first game. That's all they really care about. Who are we playing week one? But they actually work their practice schedules around who they're playing, Pat?
Yeah, they don't tell the players so much because I don't think they want them focused on one thing, but they are absolutely, at least we were, experimenting with things we thought we'd want to do against the week one opponent. The players think you're just installing the offense or a certain blitz package or something, but we'd be toying with a lot of the things we thought we were going to use. And early on in my career, I used to have the first opponent. And that breakdown would be ridiculous. Remember that you're not going to get anything off the preseason game. So if you know your opening game is the Detroit Lions, you're watching the last four games of the Detroit Lions and coming up with concepts that you think you should be looking at. So, yeah, they end up using it to get ready.
He's Pat Kerwin, CBS's NFL Today show, but – well, weekdays these days, he is co-hosting Moving the Chains on NFL Radio from 3 to 7 with Jim Miller, and he joins us courtesy of Pinchers twice a week. Pat, as always, appreciate your time and insight. Continued success with your favorite minor league hockey team, who's won 5 in a row. It's why your spirits are so good. I mean, do the folks on your NFL show realize that the reason you're in such a good mood is not the NFL, but because of the ECHL?
Well, I hope they all realize that Trent, who works for you, is in a good mood. He's part of our team now.
I had a great time. That was a great time last Friday, Pat.
You know who voted for you to be on all the time? Brad Childress.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour. Thanks so much for being with us. The Diamond District bonus hour for the 239 and the 904 is but 22 minutes away. Hey, we've had this conversation to some degree before, but Pat Kerwin on his show yesterday was talking about the four quarterbacks, younger quarterbacks that teams are, you know, figuring out in the next 2 months, are we going to do a long-term deal, or are we going to push this off to the 2025 offseason? Jordan Love, all right, Mr. Goff in Detroit. You got Tua, the Dolphins, and Tua announced late last week that they were negotiating. And Jacksonville's been negotiating with Trevor Lawrence. Now, Tua's a free agent after this year. Love's a free agent after this year. Trevor Lawrence has 2 years till he's a free agent. Any one of these quarterbacks you would play any semblance of hardball with, or are you just going to get beat up if you're the team in this negotiation?
I'm going to get beat up for the most part and try to impress upon them that anything we can take off helps us get you what you want, which is a championship. But most quarterbacks, most players don't operate under that premise.
Well, also because now Goff's gotten a few bucks. You know, Goff had a second contract. All right, so Goff's negotiating a third deal. But the other three, you know, this is the big money contract. You know, they're still working off a rookie. Love extended his deal by 1 year. It was negotiated at like 25 per, you know, the Packers committed to him and he committed to playing on a budget, but now it's time to get paid. Any of the four that you're, because basically, Mark, what I'm asking you is, you know, Dallas is positioned to play hardball with Dak. Now, they're also positioned to get absolutely beaten up at the negotiating table. But if Dallas wants to, they could be done with Dak after this year.
Yeah, it's difficult to look at what Dallas has done and use as a model for any other team because they have screwed this up so badly with the dead money and with how they've worked this. I mean, honestly, you have to throw them out when you're talking about how to negotiate because if anybody has screwed this up more than the Cowboys, please let me know what team that is.
Mark, why do you say that? Just because Dak is going to cost $59 million against the cap this year, and if they move on from him, he will cost them $35 million against next year's cap while playing for someone else.
You guys are being a little too hard on him. They went all in. They went all in.
Right.
Right. They signed Zeke. You're right.
They still have CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, two offensive linemen they have to sign. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious. I guess what I'm wondering is do you think there will be a quarterback and a team in the next couple years that will do what the Giants should have done 2 years ago with Daniel Jones, which is just say, Daniel, I know what you want, and you think you've got the leverage on us, but we're not going to pay you that. And if that means you leave, you leave. But we're not paying you that. Sorry, you're not worth it. And I'm just curious, Packers and Jordan Love, Dolphins and Tua, Jags and Trevor Lawrence, or anyone else that you see in the next year or so in which you go, you know what? I think they'll play hardball with this guy. I think they'll draw the line in the sand.
I don't think any of them draw the line in the sand with the three quarterbacks you mentioned. I don't.
So you think Jordan Love, Tua, and Trevor Lawrence are all going to sign deals in which the average salary starts with a five, because that's where this is going.
I really do, and it's a little bit of the old Cleveland Reds adage here, or Cincinnati Reds adage, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? If you're Miami, where are you going to go? And you and I are higher on Tua than I think most Dolphins are.
And certainly higher than the rest of the league's fans are.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. And it should be noted, too, that Tua did just play a full season healthy. You know, I think that would be a big concern if he wasn't. But because he just proved to you that he can stay healthy and durable for a full season, I think he's going to get that five.
Well, and remember, teams have till mid-July to do the long-term deal for this year, if you know what I mean. Otherwise, they got to put it off until, you know, next offseason. That's why if negotiations are going to take place, it's going to take place in the next 9 weeks.
And I see Tua getting paid.
So if paid, by the way, is Tua looks at you, you're the Dolphins, and I'm Tua, and I look right at you and go, have you read Justin Herbert's contract? It's 53 a year, not a penny less, because I'm just as good. In fact, I think I'm better. And every time we've played, I've beaten them. Don't call me if it's a penny less. I'm just curious, if you're the Dolphins, are you prepared to go there?
It's insane to me that that's what the number is. But as we've pointed out for quite a while, David, what's the cap going to be at?
Oh, I think in 2 years it's going to be 300.
So what's 50 when the cap's 300? It's not that
No, it's 16.6% of the cap, which is supposedly where it is you want your quarterback to be, is about 16% of the cap. I understand.
Rank them for me out of those three.
Well, okay, you got to frame the question. We ranking them for 2025?
No, we're ranking them for you paying these quarterbacks for 4 years and it's $200+ million. Who you'd give that money to first, second, and third?
Okay, am I throwing Jared Goff in the equation?
You can if you want.
Well, I'd put Trevor Lawrence at the top.
I would as well.
And now Trevor has to, you know, he went sideways last year. He has to get back to going forward. But I would put, and I'm not a Jordan Love guy. Sorry. I mean, granted, I'm biased because I've seen him play three times, and he's not been good all three times. And one of them was mid-December last year when literally Tommy Cutlets was the best quarterback on the field between the Packers and the Giants. Tommy Cutlets. But everybody wants to go off the first seven quarters he played in the playoffs last year. Nobody wants to talk about the last quarter and a half, by the way, he played in San Francisco. That game was on just the other day. I wanted to make sure I haven't been overstating how much Jordan Love blew that game for the Packers.
If you see that on again, stop what you're doing and text me because I desperately want to watch that again. You've had that in my brain for a while.
Because he was bad for the last quarter and a half of that game. They were in control of that game. And Jordan Love said to the Niners, you know, I think you guys need some help. Here you go. So I would go Trevor to a Jordan Love.
Would you pay Jared Goff?
I go shorter because he's older. So, you know, also I think I wouldn't cave to Jordan Love, though. Or Jared Love, Goff, I'm sorry. I would not cave to him. I wouldn't. I'd say, come on now. You've been to hell and back with your Rams experience. You got a good thing going here, and you want to win. And you know you will be set for life if you can get to a Super Bowl, never mind win one here. So here's what I'm going to pay you. I'm going to pay you three for $135, $45 a year. Here's what I'd be willing to do, though. Also, I'd fully guarantee the deal. Fully. I wouldn't sign one of those five-year deals where I only guarantee. I'd look right at him and go, no, 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 you're going to take a clip. But I'm going to fully guarantee the deal. I'm not going to guarantee 90 of the 135. I'm going to give you a Kirk Cousins deal. I'm giving you 45 a year, fully guaranteed for 3 years. Extension after this one. So he'd be signed through 2027. What do you say? If you're Jared Goff, can you turn that down?
No. And a lot of it has to do with where he's playing. They would hold that. If that contract was offered and he didn't take it, I'm not saying the Detroit fans would turn on him, but they would be on the side of the team with that one.
Now, granted, I mean, the way you're playing, I get it, Jared. You're last year, you were not just a top 10 quarterback in the league. You might have been top six quarterback in the league. I get it. I do. But, you know, listen, we got this guy and this guy, and I'm just telling you, okay, 45, and I will fully guarantee it. Three-year extension. What do you say?
If that's the offer, he'll take that.
I think he would, too. I think him and his fiance are thrilled with life. Everything's great. Good team. Not, you know, look right at him and go, you know, if you take this, I can still afford to have one of the three best offensive lines in the league in front of you. What do you say?
And like you said, David, it can't be overlooked that he's got a good thing going and the situation. I mean, the fans love him. It doesn't need to. I know it doesn't count for everything. But it has to count for something. The fans absolutely love him.
Here's, you know, Kirk Cousins, granted, mid-30s, you know, 4 years, 45 a year, 100 of the 180 is guaranteed. I'm point blank. This year, would you take Kirk Cousins or Trevor Lawrence for this year?
I'll take Jared Goff.
Well, I was getting to this year, would you take Jared Goff or Kirk Cousins?
Jared Goff.
Goff.
Okay.
Coming off the injury for Cousins, I don't know what to expect coming off an Achilles. No.
Okay. Would you take, for this year, would you take Tua or Cousins? Now, you have to assume Cousins is going to be healthy, obviously. If he's, you know, not healthy, everybody's better. So a healthy Kirk Cousins, Tua, for this year, who would you take on your team? Who do you think would be better?
Wow, that's really close.
Well, and so that would be my argument, because he's getting 45. You guys are all asking for 53. Now, you and I think higher of Kirk Cousins than most people. We have him, if you were to write the quarterbacks down, we think he's at the back end of the top 10 consistently. You guys all think of Kirk Cousins as like the 15th best quarterback in the league. We think of him as like the 9th. He's making 45. Now, they're going to argue. Tua's going to say, yeah, Justin Herbert's 53. Stop bringing up Kirk Cousins. Jordan Love's going to bring up Justin Herbert, 53, and go, I'm sorry, how many playoff games has he won? Did you take a look at my red zone numbers last year, by the way? I was the top three quarterback in the league in the red zone last year. Take any analytics you want. I was Aaron Rodgers' MVP in the red zone last year. Look it up. But that's what I'm curious, Mark. Who's going to, what team, what quarterback, and which is going to be like, dude, we're not paying you Joe Burrow money just because it's 2 years later and you feel that's what you should get paid. Don't know what to tell you. I'll go find another one.
And you said it before, this Daniel Jones contract is the one that is sitting out there as the contract that these guys look at.
Yeah, because they're going to go, you want to pay me 45? One of the five worst quarterbacks in the league's making 40? What the heck?
And credit Herbert for getting his done without, I mean, he's not had a lot of success on the field to get the numbers. A lot of potential.
Uh-huh. Right. And quite frankly, Trevor Lawrence is in the Justin Herbert category.
100%.
Most of us are betting on Trevor and willing to pay him, but there are some that are like, I don't know. But I would give Trevor, by the way, I'd go long-term with Trevor. I really would. I'd be willing to go 7 years with Trevor Lawrence. Big money.
That type of contract, it wouldn't be at, the numbers you wouldn't have to give are as big because the guarantee for the long distance would be there. And he may sign that in Jacksonville. Miller and Moulton. The Diamond District Bonus Hour. That comes up, well, it comes up next.